Welcome back to the second part of the Townships at 12 for today. I'm Maureen, and the station is CJMQ 88.9 FM here in the Eastern Townships. In this half hour, I will be talking with Assistant Professor Dr. Art Babiance. He's at Bishop's. He's also the director of the musical, which is going on right now at Bishop's until June 8th. The musical is called The Impossible Dream, a Broadway musical review. But before we hear the interview, we will hear the song called Seasons of Love, and it's from the musical called Rent. Today we're diving into the world of musical theater, where memory, music, and imagination come together in a brand new production at Bishop's University. I'm joined by Dr. Art Babiance, assistant professor at Bishop's and the director of a powerful new show called The Impossible Dream, a Broadway musical review. This original production is a collaboration between the departments of drama and music, and it draws inspiration from some of the most beloved and ageless Broadway classics. From Rent and Chicago to The Sound of Music, Wicked, and many more. Set inside a condemned local theater, the last cultural stronghold of its region, The Impossible Dream explores themes of nostalgia, resilience, and the enduring power of the arts. It all comes to life at the Turner Studio on Bishop's campus. Today we'll hear about the creative process behind the show, the collaboration among students and faculty, and why this production is something truly special. Maureen Dillon Teasdale for theCUBE, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Professor Dr. Art Babiance. He's the director of the Impossible Dream at the Turner Studio on the campus of Bishop's University. So welcome, Dr. Babiance.
Thank you so much.
Could you start by telling us what the Impossible Dream is all about?
Absolutely. It is actually a very unique project that started with students devising, creating various scenes, and eventually they come up with an idea of an abandoned theater somewhere in the region of Lennoxville or Sherbrooke, without naming anything, they decided to look into what it is to be a theater person, what it is to have dreams, especially in an economy that is not doing super well, when everybody is encouraging you not to dream and to be very pragmatic and practical and think about money, what it means to actually have and pursue your dreams, no matter how ridiculous they are. And they came up with this very interesting concept of a show where we combine various Broadway classics and sort of look at them through a very unique perspective. So the show is an homage to the genre of the musical revue, the genre that gave birth to musical theater in North America. And it is sort of a collection of beautiful vignettes that end up with a classic Broadway song. But the way those songs are connected with each other is simply through theater magic. There is no one storyline that connects them. In fact, every single vignette is its own storyline. And those storylines were written by the students.
Okay, that's really interesting. So it's the students that were inspired by the concept?
Yeah, it's the students who invented the concept. They knew they had to create a musical theater revue, but apart from that, everything else was their invention. So the audience will find themselves in an old abandoned theater that will suddenly come alive, but I can't tell you much more because then I will be revealing too much. There will be a lot of theater magic.
Okay, that sounds really exciting. Now, this is a collaboration between the departments of drama and music at Bishop's. And what has that partnership been like in bringing this production to life?
Oh, it is absolutely magical when you bring two departments together. It isn't easy, but we've been working together for 4 years now with my musical director, Fanny Godet, who is the musical director of the production, and she's from the Department of Music. Fanny brought two excellent professional musicians to the collaboration, and they are both, the three of them are on stage playing. I don't even know how many instruments, because they're all multi-instrumental musicians. So they switch instruments in the middle of the song. They change instruments. It's fantastic to observe how the musicians work, and the audience will actually see the musicians working, as they're watching the show. So it is a musical with a live band.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really intriguing. How do you weave together excerpts from such iconic musicals like Rent, Chicago, The Wicked, The Sound of Music into a single coherent story?
Well, it is what musical reviews can do. A musical review was very popular in the 19th century and then throughout the first part of the 20th century, and it was the kind of normal thing to do. The concept of a book musical, a musical with a story, happened much later. Basically, the very, very first book musical was Oklahoma, but it was quite unusual to have a story in a musical before. Now we think of it as a normal thing. So what we did, we looked back at the history of musical theater, and we looked at what musical reviews used to be. And the very idea is to impress people by their luxurious musical numbers, by tap dance, by beautiful songs, rather than to, intrigue them with a story. Having said that, there is a story in every single musical number, and I think it's a pleasure for the audience to try and thematically connect those numbers between each other. So the job of connecting them is not on the playwright, it's on the audience.
Mm-hmm. Definitely some nostalgia in the production, the memories of theater's golden years, okay? The story touches on the decline of cultural spaces and waning interest in the arts. What message are you hoping to share with audiences through this theme?
Well, you know, as an educator, because I've been teaching a theater for about 10 years now all across the country, especially, you know, during the pandemic, but also now when we're like threatened by American sanctions and other global issues, and the economy is going into a potential depression, you know, young people are supposed to be dreamers, but they are constantly encouraged to stop dreaming, to stop imagining, to stop pursuing what they actually want to do. they are encouraged to think in a very pragmatic way. And life has become very, very expensive, obviously. Like, we've all noticed that the prices are much higher than before. So you really have to think pragmatically all the time. So I think it is interesting that we came up with is a story for our production where there will be a bit of a conflict between the pragmatic thinking. There is a character called the businessman. I'm not going to tell you much more about it, but there is a character who will defy dreams and encourage us to think pragmatically. And there will be a whole bunch of other characters, the bohemians, those who would refuse to think pragmatically, those who would squat buildings and sing songs. And so there is this endless conflict between the two sides of the human nature, so to speak. And I think it's very topical right now.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Tell us about the students and the performers involved. What's the energy like in rehearsals?
Oh my goodness, it's just wonderful. We have a lot of students who are in their third and fourth year, so they're already close to being professional and close to graduation. It's a pleasure to see them work. And they are also helping those who are in their first musical production. About 30-40% of the cast are, you know, first, second years. So there's a lot of peer teaching, peer support going on. And in addition to that, we've also decided with the students to support a local musical theater author who wrote a musical called Closet. Her name is Le Kim Hubert Deschamps, and she wrote a musical, and we will present one song from her new musical, and that will be a premiere. So the students are very, very proud to be not only working with each other, but also supporting a local musical creator and premiering their work.
Mm-hmm. That is really nice. About how many students and performers are involved in the play?
There will be 16 people on the stage. It's a rather large cast. There are 3 musicians and there are 13 performers.
Okay, that's quite a few. Now, how does directing a revue like this differ from directing a traditional play or a musical?
That's a fantastic question. It's very different because when you work with a traditional musical, you have a script, you have a libretto, and you kind of know that it works. It's been tested on Broadway or off-Broadway or somewhere else. It comes with a guarantee, right? But with a musical theater revue, you stitch together different bits and pieces and you don't know how it works. So until you run the whole show, you don't really understand the tempo rhythm. You don't quite get how the jokes will work out. So it's only at a very late stage you start seeing the whole picture, which is challenging and sort of scary, but then you should be ready for last minute changes and stuff like that. Having said that, we had a dress rehearsal yesterday. We had a bit of invited public and they absolutely loved the show. And they said the show makes you smile and you leave the theater with a smile on your face and a bunch of really catchy tunes in your head. And I think that's the best compliment anybody can get. And to confirm that, our first night is on Friday, and it's completely sold out already. So I'm pretty happy about this production.
Mm-hmm. That definitely sounds very positive. Now, why was the Turner Studio chosen as the performance venue, and how does that space enhance the storytelling?
Oh, that's another great question, because Turner Studio is a fairly intimate theater. For those who know the big theater that we have, Centennial, which is much more famous, Turner Studio is sort of attached to the backstage of Centennial. I think it's been around for about 30 years now, so it has its own history. But it is a small black box. And the joy of working there is that you can transform that theater into absolutely anything. You know, it can be, you can place the audience wherever you want. They could be all around. They could be up, down. You know, it doesn't really matter. It's a very, very versatile space compared to a traditional proscenium stage theater. And the show was designed by one of our students who found a way to completely transform the space into an old vaudeville house. And I think it works really beautifully. So for us, having a versatile stage was really, really important, and I think we achieved our goal.
Mm-hmm. Now, what can audiences expect when they come to see The Impossible Dream? What would be the main things, musically, emotionally, or even visually?
Oh my goodness, there's so much. I think every single vignette would be different. I think they are in for a lot of surprises. From the very beginning of the show to the very end of the show, every single musical number is a bit of a surprise in terms of who's singing it, how it's sung. There will be tap dance that I think a lot of people absolutely love. There will be duets. There will be big, large show-stopping numbers. But the way it happens, you never know what is next. So it's not a boring show. It's about 65 to 70 minutes of fun and surprises and lots of humor. So be ready to smile, applaud, and hopefully sing along.
Okay. Now, when and where can people catch the performance?
We're playing from May 30th till June 8th. We have shows almost every day, and there are quite a few matinees on Saturdays and Sundays. There are matinees, and the shows start at 7:30. The evening shows and matinees are at 2 o'clock. They can purchase tickets at Pont de Vente. The easiest way is to Google The Impossible Dream, a Broadway musical review, and it will take you to the Pont de Vente website and just purchase the tickets there. And one thing we did, we ensured that the tickets are affordable because obviously going to a musical has become a privilege. Tickets in New York can cost $250 right now. We made sure that our tickets are really affordable. For adults, it's $27, for seniors, $22, and for students, $17, which is an incredible deal.
It is. Now, what's one reason you'd give to someone who's never seen a Broadway review to come and see The Impossible Dream?
Well, I think a lot of people might be feeling tired, overwhelmed, and disheartened right now. Given all the news that is that we are bombarded with every day. So if you want to put a smile on your face and just kind of forget about the world a little bit for 70 minutes at least, that I think it's a good enough reason to come and check out a musical theater review, because that's what musical theater reviews were for. They were for all classes, not only for the privileged and the rich. People would come to the theater, they would pay very little, and they would watch pure entertainment just to be distracted from the, you know, difficult situation in life. So if you want to have a smile on your face and a tune in your head, I think it's a good enough reason to come and check it out.
It certainly is. Anything that we left out, Dr. Bobby Yance, that you'd like to add?
No, I think we covered all the grounds.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We've been talking with Assistant Professor and the Director of The Impossible Dream, a Broadway musical review, coming at the Turner Studio, starting on May 30th and running to June 8th. So thank you very much and all the best on the play.
Thank you so much.
Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? And all that jazz, I'm gonna rouge my knees and roll my stockings down. And all that jazz, start the car, I know a whoopee spot where the gin is cold but the piano's hot. It's just a noisy hall where there's a nightly brawl and all that jazz. Come on, babe, why don't we paint the town? There's a nightly brawl and all that. No, I'm no one's wife, but all of my life and all that.
just heard All That Jazz, and it's from the musical Chicago. And next up, we have some health news here on the Townships at 12. Now, as summer approaches and more of us head outdoors to enjoy the sunshine, it's also the season to be tick aware. Ticks are small, but they can pose big health risks, especially as carriers of Lyme disease and other tick-borne illnesses. Ticks are most active in grassy, wooded, or bushy areas, which means popular spots like parks, trails, and even your backyard could host them. But the good news is, with a few simple steps, you can reduce your risk of tick bites. First, if you're going for a walk in tall grass or in the woods, wear long sleeves and long pants, and tuck your pants into your socks. Light-colored clothing makes it easier to spot ticks. Use a tick repellent containing DEET on exposed skin and clothing. When you come indoors, do a full-body tick check, especially behind the knees, around the ears, in the navel, under the arms, and in the hairline. Ticks love warm, hidden areas. If you do find a tick, remove it as soon as possible using clean tweezers. Grasp the tick close to the skin and pull upward steadily without twisting. Then clean the area and your hands with soap and water or alcohol. Keep the tick in a small container or sealed bag in case your health care provider wants to test it, especially if you develop a rash, fever, or flu-like symptoms in the days or weeks after. Finally, keep your yard safe by cutting grass short, removing leaf litter, and creating a barrier of gravel or mulch between your lawn and wooded areas. Remember, a little prevention goes a long way. Stay tick smart, stay healthy, and enjoy a safe and active summer. And that's been our health news here today on the Townships at 12. I'd like to thank my guests on the show today in the first half hour, David Skip Wright from the St. Francis Valley Naturalist Club. Don't forget to stop by their table at Friendship Day this Saturday, June 7th. They will be in the St. Antoine School. And in the second part of today's show, Dr. Art Babiantz, director of The Impossible Dream, a Broadway musical. It's going on at the Turner Studio right now until June 8th. I also wanted to add that if somebody has an idea for an interview, please get in touch with me by email, cjmqnews@gmail.com, and also for community announcements for nonprofits. It's free, and I will announce them on my show. Again, send me an email with a short description of the event. The email address again, cjmqnews@gmail.com. Thanks everybody for listening. The Tuesday show is repeated on Wednesday at noon, and the show is available on our website under the Shows tab. The Townships at 12, I'll be taking a short break from the show. That is starting this Thursday, but I will be back with a new Townships at 12 on June 19th. We will close today's show with my favorite things. It's from The Sound of Music.
I think of nice things.
What kind of things?
Oh, well, let me see. Nice things. Daffodils. Green meadows, skies full of stars, raindrops on roses, and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. Cream-colored ponies and crisp apple strudels, doorbells and sleigh bells and schnitzel with noodles, wild geese that fly with a moon on their wings. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes, snowflakes that stay on my nose and eyelashes, silver-white winters that melt into springs. These are a few of my favorite things. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Does it really work?
Of course it does. You try it. What things do you like?
Pussy Willow. Christmas. Bunny Rabbit.
Yes.
Chocolate icing.
No school.
Pillow fight.
Telegram.
Birthday present. Any present.
Yes.
Ladybug.
What?
Yeah. A good sleep.
A good sleep.
Good sometimes.